Father, we seek your face again. We pray that you would open our hearts so that we would hear what is on your heart. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, I found out yesterday something new about the, you know, the city of Macau. Do you know the meaning of the city of Macau? The meaning of the name? It is called the city of God. Meaning of Macau is the city of God. I was with some friends from Macau last night, and they said the meaning of Macau is city of God. And, you know, driving through the Cotai Strip, it was ample proof that the city that was meant for the worship of God has been taken over by mammon. By all the things that stand against God. And, you know, just grieving over that, I've been asking myself, where does this really begin? Where does this really begin? It really begins in the belief that what I have is not enough. That I just need a little bit more. I just need a little bit more. I just need a little bit more. I had a friend who worked with Steve Jobs. You know, he was a VP for Apple Global, you know, Dave Ray. And he said, you know, he has had many conversations, you know, with Steve about, you know, how much is enough, Steve? You know, he had about 7 houses, I think, around the world in the top places of the globe. And he would just see that, you know, a few times a year, each of those houses. And he used to ask him, you know, hey, Steve, you know, how much is enough? You know, at what point are you going to stop? And he used to say, it seems, you know, just a little bit more, Dave. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. I think that little bit more spectrum starts early. That answer starts very early. Very, very early. You know, I knew a friend who said in her childhood, you know, when she was 3 years old, she used to hide bread and apples and bananas and cookies under the couch. You know, so the family, when they did the spring cleaning, found all this food stashed under the couch and under the beds of the house. You know, she was squirreling away food because there was this innate fear of somebody failing to do their part. A 3 year old. And so it actually starts very, very early, far before than we realize. You know, she comes from a great family, great father who loves to provide abundance, you know. It's not a family that was scrounging for food, you know. So often I think we are like that. We think we need to fend for ourselves, that we are on our own. So this essential conversation is about lifestyle. How much is enough? I think individually and collectively as a family and as a community, as a church, as a body of believers, until and unless we have this very honest conversation, I don't think we're going to go far. For I can say yes to a meeting here, and if I don't say no to another meeting at the same time at the other town, you know, my yes here means nothing. My S is not an S, it's a squat. For this yes to be meaningful to a generous journey, it means I need to start saying no's to the things that I have sold myself to, You know, there are so many things I need to say. I will not go there. I will not do this. You know, I choose to give those things away, for I have committed to this thing. So I want us to look at that question of how much is enough. You know, individually and collectively, I strongly recommend the Crown Studies that was proposed. You know, it'll give you a great opportunity to list your expenses, to say how much is the mean that I need, the minimum that I need to live life. And then you can see how much you can give away. And my friend, if you think that you're on the low end of the totem pole, you know, forget it. Forget that lie. It is a lie from the pit of hell. Don't you believe it? I believe you and I are in the top 3% of the world. In the top 3% of the world. You know, the reason we think we don't have enough is we are looking at the guy who's above us. You know, who has the better car and who flies all over the world in first class. You know, I truly believe it's time we started looking down to see the 95 or 97% that's below us. You know, to be a follower of Christ, you know, to be a citizen of this kingdom of God, and to say that I have an open-ended lifestyle does not work. You have to close that open-ended at some point and say, my lifestyle, I choose our lifestyle as a family, as a person, individually, at this level. You know, at this level, I don't need more than this. I just need this, and all else, it goes into the kingdom of God. You know, unless and until we come to that place, I don't think this yes is an yes. The world is a master at discontent. You know, a few years ago, I heard the speech of the World Advertising Forum, and the president of the Global Advertising Forum in their global meet said, brothers and sisters, we are in the business of creating discontent. Very honest guy. Very honest for the first time. He said, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the business of creating discontent. The market thrives on that. It flourishes on that. The more discontent you create, that this insurance is not enough, you can sell your product. The more you can create that this car is not safe enough for your two-year-old, you can sell your car. They are in the business. They thrive. They are masters at discontent. The kingdom of God. You know, the message from the front to the back of the word of God is contentment. God is our provider. Abba, Father. Same. Unchanging, the great I am. He provides for the birds. You know, he clothes the lilies of the valleys far better than Solomon can. He takes care of the least, the forgotten, the far away ones. He remembers your beginnings. He remembers, your wandering years. He's the same Father that waits for you even when you walk away. You know, he longs for you to come back and he runs towards you. You know, God himself runs. You know, he exerts in the word of God only once, when he sees the Son coming back. I mean, a God who calls for things by word, he runs when he sees the Son coming back. That's your Father. That is your Papa. The great I am. Will he not take care of you, my friend? He has dreams for you and I far beyond our imagination, far beyond any college or MBA or any industry can teach us. Far beyond our abilities. He sees in us things we don't see. Possibilities that we or our family have never seen in us. Or our business has never seen in us. He sees in you. He's dreaming for you and me. For things that are so high that it is impossible for you and I to think of those things. That is your Father. And you dare to think that He can't provide. I mean, I can give you hundreds of stories here of God's provision. We don't have the time. Hundreds of stories of God's provision. They're here. They're here. I don't need to tell you. There are stories here of God showing up in places, unimaginable ways. Amen? Amen. The message of contentment has not gone out from the pulpit enough. From our lives enough. We've not talked about contentment enough. We've not talked about God providing enough in our families. Many pastors' children, sadly, in my country, or the missionaries around the world often, you know, don't go into ministry. You know why? The family talks about lack of provision in the family. They major on the day where they had to wait to pay the school fees. You know, they had to, rest of the kids had the uniform. You know, the pastor's kid didn't have the uniform because they didn't have the fees. And it was a few weeks later they paid. So we talk about those things, about the lack of provision, and the child grows up thinking, you know what, I'm going to grow up and take care of this. I'll solve this problem for my family. And then you wonder later on in life, why did my children not come into ministry? Lord, why? Because for 25 years, my friend, you raised your child talking about the needs. Your eyes were on the few needs and you forgot the plenty that was given to you. Contentment, the message from the throne room. Be still. I'm God of all. I own everything. I own everything. Nothing is out of control from where He sits. You know, the verses, Philippians 4, 11 to 13, we know that, passage well. He says that, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You know, we can do all things, my friends. We can do all things. We can do all things through Him who strengthens us. The greater I am with us, you know, we are not a minority in the marketplace. You know who's a minority? The one without God. You know who's the majority? The one with whom the Most High resides is the majority in that building, in that office, in that company, in that street, in that city. If Most High resides in you, you are the majority. The world has a way of convincing us that we are small and we are puny and that we have to watch our steps and that, you know, that we have to take care of ourselves. You know, God's calling you to a new way of living and a life of abundance. You know, we see in 1 Timothy, we see chapter 6, 17 and 18 is a core verse for generosity in a lot of ways. You know, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. You know, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. You know, here is the call of God to send ahead. To send ahead. To find ways to send ahead. To send ahead. You know, so often we can think, I'm not rich, so this doesn't apply to me. You know, we've already talked about that. And he's calling us to look ahead. You know, smart business people are smart because they're a few steps ahead of the rest. They see things ahead. So if you are a smart child of God, you will see things ahead. You will see few steps ahead of the rest of the world and see what is ahead, what is up ahead, that is not visible now, but soon is to be. And so often, you know, giving can be confused. You know, it's one area that I've seen in the recent years, the few years that I've been speaking about this in my own nation. I see so many, you know, our culture, especially Indian culture, is so face-saving, especially the cultures of the East. You know, here you have a mix. You have the exposure to the West. You've been there, studied there. So like, hopefully you'll understand this much more than an Eastern person who has not been exposed to the Westward. You know, the Eastern culture is so careful about revealing, really. Doesn't want to reveal more than what is essential, you know. It's so careful. And so when I talk about generosity, they say, brother, nice, you know, I'm generous. But then you push them a little bit. Oh, brother, I live a generous life. You know, well, what does that mean? You know, how much, brother, don't talk about money, brother. You know, talk about life. Yeah, life is fine. Brother, I'm going to this homeless shelter. I'm giving my accounting time to these guys, this ministry church. I'm holding the church accounts. You know, that takes time, you know. You know, are you putting into the church account? You know, that's another question, you know. So, this conversation can be so hazy. We are so good, especially in my part of the world. They're so good at creating this smoke screen that you just walk away. And now I've realized, hey, man, you know, you need to push in. You know, God didn't say, to choose between me and time. God didn't say choose between me, you know, God and talent. You know, God said choose between God and wealth. Sure, you know, we saw Pete Hawkes. You know, he had written thousands of checks, you know, of money, you know, and then realized he needed to make an impact socially, locally. So he gives his time and talent, you know, in the community. So don't use that as a cop-out. It was after he was writing checks. So often, I see men who are very comfortable giving time and talent and nothing else. And nothing else. And nothing else. Very comfortable just saying, you know, just, you know, convincing themselves, I am a generous person. Tragedy. Tragedy. Tragedy in the house of God. So be aware. Alert to that, you know, the Word of God is absolutely clear. Whatever holds you back is what He wants. Whatever, whether in Abraham's case it was Isaac, whatever is that one thing that holds you back. And I suspect 99% of the time it'll be riches and money. You know,
We're running out of time. There are various reasons for giving. The marketplace is talking generosity, so it's definitely muddying the waters. You know, it gives, you know, hey, you know, like, no, I saw a need, so I give. That's okay. Hey, I give because it gives me tax breaks. Well, that's okay too. You know, hey, I give because of guilt. Well, that's a beginning. I mean, don't put it down. Don't put it down. I mean, here are baby steps, guys. You know, let's have some grace. You know, so let's say, okay. It's the right thing to do. Everybody's doing it. Well, join the club. Well, I give to get. I give to my employees, you know, to my neighborhood, so I could be the big guy. You know, give to get. Okay. It's okay. You'll know better soon. You know? I care. Okay, that's a step up. You know, I care, you know, certainly. You know, but then care can change. You know, you can wander in your emotions. So, okay, but still not there yet, you know. I feel responsible. Good. You know, you've started. You know, the Word of God tells me to. Oh, now you are hearing some things. I believe you and I need to give because my Father is generous. That is His character, and that has to be my character. If I am His son, if we are the family of God, then that DNA is written into us. My Father lives with open hands. If He had withheld things from me, where would we be? My Father is generous. I am the son of the King, the son of the Most High God, children of God, sons of the King, sons of the kingdom. You know, to rule with Him, to reign with Him. You know, how can I be any different? That is my nature. That has to be our nature. So really, I would say, you know, yes, all those steps, let's encourage those steps. But let's persevere to this foundational identity, the very core of our being. My Father is generous. Generous Father. And so as His son, as I look at His face, I see generosity all the time. How else can I be different? How else can I be anything else? So that should be our goal, my friends. That should be our motivation. That should be our reason. And you may ask, you know, in terms of giving, there are lots of tools that Generosity Path has. J. Paul is here, and Ron is here, and, you know, Jeff is here. All those guys are masters of at it. You can see the website, you know, Generosity Path. That'll actually teach you how to give. So often, I think beginners in giving look at the faults in the ministry or some deficit in a church, the style of functioning, and say, I'm not giving. I want to give. But see there. So it is actually a deceptive way of not wanting to give. You know, overcome that. Your part is to entrust. And their part, whoever it is to be the trustees, you know, accountable to God. So they can help you. They can guide you in that. I don't want to go into that. That's a whole another session that we would need. You know, I would say be spirit-led. Sons of God. Who are the sons of God? Romans 8:14. Those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Does that, you know, include this area also? Yes. The Holy Spirit is able to lead you. It is able to point you to
you know, to people, to ministries that are not in the beaten path. You know, it is able to show you people that are hidden, you know, for every, you know, there was this statement, it was actually made by Mother Teresa, you know, when she got the Nobel Prize, she said, for every one Mother Teresa that is recognized, you know, there are 1,000 that are not recognized. 1,000 that go unnoticed. You know, in the eyes of the world, the Holy Spirit knows that. You know, the Holy Spirit can point you, you know, to those places. In terms of work, I'm coming to my end here, Tyler. In terms of work also, you know, I was talking to somebody earlier today about work. Work also, that verse applies, you know, being led by the Spirit. You know, God the Father doesn't leave your work out of His ambit. Ask Him for wisdom. Ask Him for guidance. You know, you are the Daniel generation. Who, you know, you can eat vegetables and you still will be more flourishing and fatter and fairer and, you know, better looking than the guys who ate from the king's table. Right? You can eat less and, you know, deliver more. You can work less, perform more. You can give little time and the outcome can be more. That is your Father. He is a multiplier. The mathematics of the kingdom of God is not addition, it's multiplication. It is multiplication. Small things become big. Always, always, always. So remember to bring that economy into your workplace also. And finally, you know, I want to say something that I know is not part of generosity. I have not read through the materials as much. But I believe there is a connection between giving and forgiving. There is a connection between giving and forgiving. As you begin this life of generosity, you will also realize that you are forgiving more and more. And if you are starting on the other end of the spectrum, forgiving more and more, you will realize that God will very soon open your hands also. You see that in, you know, in the life of Jesus on the cross, He's laying Himself down and He's forgiving. You see that in the life of Joseph, the type of Jesus. Right? Joseph was a foreigner. Forgives and then gives. So, as you start this journey, my friends, for those of you starting now, I want to say that there is a great journey ahead. That your hands, that God, as He opens your hands, He'll also open your hearts and you will release the hurts. You will say, I forgive you to things that you thought will, you know, that you will hold for life. You know, that wound will last me for a lifetime. You know, we say those things in pain. You know, but there are so many things I can look back and say, boy, man, those were gone long ago. I'm so glad. Or where would we be if we did not release those things? The world is good at hurting and maiming and wounding. And the kingdom of God, the economy of the kingdom of God is healing and restoring. And making you forget of those wounds, actually. You become the healer. So you will see that in your lives as you embark on this journey, you will also become a forgiver. And one tool you can measure to test your closeness to God. I think I'm over time, Tyler, am I? One measurement of to measure our walk with God is to see
how long it takes to forgive a hurt. If it takes a year, then I'm quite away. Takes months, a little closer. A month, a few weeks, a few days, a few hours. The closest walk with Christ will be imitating Christ while he was being crucified. Forgave them simultaneously to the offense. Simultaneously to the offense. That is our call. That is the standard that we have to look up to, my friend. World teaches us to remember. Man, don't you forget that. I was with a business guy in Bombay, a big business guy, and he said his boss is ruining the investor. The investor trusts this boss, and it's a huge business. It's about a $5 billion business. And this boss is ruining the investor because the chairman of the board was the investor because he hurt him. He hurt him bad years ago when he was a junior. And this man, the boss, is, you know, the guy is now the boss. I mean, the CEO. And he is ruining the business for the last 10 years. Doing deals in ways that will actually ruin the work. And the net worth of the chairman is going down. Well, his is going up. And he says he is going in for the kill. To make this guy with nothing. He's tying him into banks. Loans that will ruin the business. I mean, the marketplace is full of such stories. Of people set to ruin somebody. You are sent there. For one reason, my friends. Jesus, simultaneous to the offense. You know,
I found this on a beach. You know, these floats. You know, these are floats, right?
From the back, can you see this? These are floats. You know, fisher float, small float. And here's a big float. You know, the mama float or the whatever, you know. Huge. It's large, you know. You know, does this have any meaning? Alone? Does this have any meaning alone? It'll throw into the water, it'll float, then after a little while it'll be back on the shore, right? Or it'll get washed further into the sea. It'll float. It won't sink. And this little one, it's a small float. You know, this guy can look down on this float and say, hey, I'm big, you know. But really, no meaning until they come into contact with the net, right? Until a float and a net is together. Where's the other one? There it is. Until these are together, then there is meaning. Then there is meaning in them together, and then there is meaning in the size. How can missionaries go into far places? How could Jesus' film be made? How could, you know, how could homeless be sheltered? How could pastors go into places and start churches if there wasn't somebody say, I will stand with you. I will walk with you. Floats. No meaning. No meaning. Alone. None. No purpose. No purpose. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. You know, right here, my friends. You know, you know, working hand in hand. You know, we talked about the exit from Macau. You know, it is just hours ahead. You know, we have this chit. You know, it's my own chit now. You know, a brother. And it says 30 days, but I'm leaving early. I'm leaving today. We are all leaving today. We may think that we have a long time in Macau, but we are actually leaving early. We may think that we have a long time on earth. My friend, we may be leaving early. We may be leaving early. You know, Francis Xavier, I mentioned about a priest who, you know, who died here trying to open up China, you know, in the 1550s. His life motto was to dream for 100 years, but live life as if that day was his last. Live life assuming this is going to be my last day to do the things that I am called to do. He died when he was 46. You know, he dreamt for a long, long time, but then he lived life to the fullest. For he spent every day for the things that truly mattered for eternity. I'm done, my friends. Use what has been given into your hands. For that which lasts, that which outlasts everything. Shall we bow and seek God's favor upon us for this, you know, towards this end? Father, your heart is grieving over the city of God that has become the city of Mammon, Lord. But you are a God of turnarounds. You are able to turn things around. You are not done, Lord. You are beginning again here this morning. Begin in us. Lord, begin in me. Begin in every one of us, Lord. And may we turn the scales of the world upside down. May eternity be the first thing. May the souls be the first thing on our list. And may we turn the scale of the world upside down, Lord. I pray that you would guard this band of brothers. Pray for unity. Pray for your absolute amazing presence amongst these, your sons. May they be the warriors of the world, sent out to far places to battle, to conquer, to Lord, take back lost places, to ground, to take back grounds that have been lost, like Macau. Send them, Lord, send them. Increase their light and increase their height, Lord. Grant them stories of amazing turnarounds. Use them in ways far beyond their abilities and capabilities and even their dreams. Hide them from things that are unnecessary and peripheral to the things of the kingdom. Hide them from times that are wasted by for anything, Lord. Let them not waste their time on travel and internet and TV and whatever things, Lord, or friendships that don't matter, or relationships that don't count, or activities that don't count, for browsings that don't count, whatever that doesn't count, Lord, expenses that don't count, travels that don't count. Hide them from those things, Lord. Stop them. Cancel the flights, Lord. Ground them. May they be connected and revealed and used and pushed into things that matter for eternity and eternity alone. May this be a band of harvesters that go around the nation who have the compassion of Jesus and looking at the lost sheep. May they minister
May they minister in new and amazing ways. May a great outpouring of the Spirit take place here, Lord. May a great outpouring, a revival begin here amongst us, Lord. Do a new work amongst us. We are hungry for more. We are hungry for more. In your beautiful name we ask this, Lord Jesus. Amen.